97.5, The Fanatic.
Good evening, everybody. Glad you will be with us here on 97.5, The Fanatic. I am Dee Lynam. I am with you throughout the rest of Sunday evening. We'll take you to 11 o'clock here on The Fanatic. And I will continue the conversation that Rob Motti had going in terms of the Philadelphia 76ers. Let's face it, yesterday was not good. And I had called a college game during the day, and a person who I work with is a huge Sixers fan, and he said to me as I was leaving, they cannot get blown out. They cannot embarrass themselves. I'm like, they're not going to do that. He was right, and I was wrong. And if you want to say, you know, they found ways to be within six, yes, I get that. But at the end of the day, the embarrassing part is that you do not look like a well-oiled machine compared to what Milwaukee is. And if you break it down, there are some who say, how is Milwaukee as good as they are? I don't see it on paper for some. And I'm going to tell you where it starts. It starts that Giannis has something that neither Ben Simmons, and I know he didn't play yesterday, or Joel Embiid possesses. It's an it factor. It's a willingness to fail. It's not being interested in telling the world how good he is. It's, I just want to keep getting better. All of it. It's an it factor that neither of your superstars have. And if somebody wants to say, Ben didn't even play, I get it. And I have been on a proponent of saying, I think I see the improvement that Ben has made in areas of his game. But when I tell you that when I see what Giannis has, no, Ben doesn't have that because he's not willing to sacrifice. And Embiid doesn't have it because he can be great one day and pronounce himself best player in the world. Why would you do that? Why don't you just let your actions speak and let your actions say that you're the best in the world, as opposed to then going into a building and let the guy who is the best in the world show you up like he did? Why would you do that? So the other part says to me, as I'm watching, right, there is a discipline, there is an identity, there is a way that they want to play, and that's what they do. That's the Milwaukee Bucks, but that's what a lot of teams do. And I don't think the Sixers do that. Their identity is like thrown up in the air. And they'll say, well, we have traded for, we keep making. But if you have something that you are now inviting people to be a part of, invite them to be a part of, this is how we do it. And I'm not saying you can't change X's and O's. But this is how we do it. And this is not what will be tolerated. Whether it's being fundamentally sound, whether it's saying you cannot do this as you go into the paint and just throw yourself up there. It's on so many levels. It's not disciplined. That's what it is. It's not disciplined. And you need a roadmap. And I'm not sure I know what theirs is. And I think that's a problem. So for all the talk, by the way, I'll just tell you, catching the Celtics, barring some unbelievable injury by Boston, is not happening. You will be in a 4-5 with Miami, unless you want to tank and take your chances and say to yourselves, ah, we'd rather play the Celtics. And they may do that. I have no idea. I really have no idea. But either way, I'd rather them go the route of trying to battle it out with Miami, because I'd like to see them get home court, because settling for 5-6, one or the other, when you are a 9-20 road team, even if you say, we'll figure it out, I'm sorry, the optics say, no, you can't. You haven't. You haven't for 5 years prior. And this year, ridiculous. So, no. This team cannot try to finagle, to fall back, thinking they should play Boston to get out of the first round. Not where you are right now. No. You said you were going to be a person who contends, a team that contends in the Eastern Conference to be the number one seed. You are falling so far short of that, and it's on your own doing. There is nobody on the outside responsible for this. This is about the roster construction. It's about the schematics of it. It's about bringing in people because you thought you knew better than what they had been all their lives. That's Al Horford. He's a center. He's not a four. He's not a stretch four. And you paid him a lot of money. And everybody thinks he's terrible and got old in a matter of months. And I'll tell you that if he was playing in this moment for the Boston Celtics, I would bet he'd be helping that team, because he would be being used properly. And how they're using him, and they created it. It's not Al's fault. Al agreed to it, though, so that is his part of it. And all the great guys in the world that you want to be good locker room people, playing people out of position does not work. And if you think you can reinvent something, it's amazing how many times you will learn you can't. So my point to you on this night is, I think it's a big uphill battle for this group. And you say, well, it was one game. They had won going into last night. All of it was at home, by the way. Their little run. But to me, the flaws are many. The flaws are many. And we are saying the same things for a third straight year, acclimating people. We have to figure it out, but we've been given a new deck to deal with. Everybody who acquires new talent at the trade deadline deals with the same stuff. The Lakers are about to get the other Morris brother. Are they going to be saying to us, give us time so we can acclimate him? No, I don't think so. And it's time for them to take a bigger ownership of who they are as a group, as a team. And unfortunately, yes, at the top. And at the top, that is, it's actually, it's Brett, it's his coaching staff, it's Elton, it's his staff. You know, obviously yesterday I didn't think it looked well when they shoot the cutaway of him and he's just like on his phone and your team is playing embarrassingly. Embarrassingly. It's just truth of the matter. And I don't care that Ben's out. I don't. Your team needed to be better prepared. Before Ben went out, by the way, there was, what was it, 12-2 to start that game? He was in for that. It was a joke. Stop. And stop telling me how good you guys are defensively, because you're not that either. So maybe I sound more frustrated as a fan, and I rarely feel that I am a fan. But watching that game last night, I am absolutely a fan. Because I couldn't be in Milwaukee. So what would it take? Because it's going to take miraculous efforts to somehow come out of the East or even get to the Eastern Conference Finals. Who are we kidding? Who are we kidding? Let's check in with Mike from King of Prussia. Mike, thanks for calling the Fanatic.
Hey, D, how you doing?
I'm all right.
Your level of anger is my level of anger. And let me just start by saying our GM, Elton Brand, is hopefully overmatched. He is not prepared for this position. And he's remade this team twice in 2 years and has philosophically changed the whole identity of what they're supposed to be doing. And he can't just keep tinkering with pieces and bringing in new things and hoping it works without getting any kind of consistency going.
Wait a minute. I'm never going to argue with him. I thought his trade for Jimmy Butler was outstanding.
Yeah, but then we didn't keep him, and then he went out and wasted a bunch of money on Horford, and he gave Tobias Harris, who doesn't deserve $180 million, $180 million. The whole process has been thoroughly botched. I mean, we were supposed to bring in, part of it was bringing in a top-flight free agent. We don't have that. That never happened. Our best free agent, like, we had Jimmy for half the season, and he was gone. We were supposed to draft generational talent. We drafted two guys that have giant holes in their games and are thoroughly immature, to the point where one's calling himself the best player in the league, and then he goes out and has a clunker of a game on Saturday. And then on top of that, all of our assets that we spent years acquiring have been wasted. We wasted them all. This is the team. We're strapped for cash now. Like, all the money that's been spent, you're not going to be able to go out and buy new players or go out in free agency. This, everything has been botched by like NBA interference, our own lack of talent evaluation. It's just all, it's been ruined.
Well, I don't like to think that there's no hope to fix things that went wrong. I mean, for instance, if you had told me that the group could come out from under the Brian Colangelo fiasco coupled with trading up to get Markelle Fultz and then having Fultz be totally not the guy, I would have said, I can't believe you're going to be in a winning situation, you know, a year down the road. And in fact, they were. So I'm not saying it's when you can't see it. I get it. And I can't see it right now. But they have come out from other holes in the past.
Yeah, but then they went and drafted that one player, and then they traded him and took Zaire Smith in the trade. And Zaire Smith's not even going to be a player. Their talent evaluation has been garbage when it comes to the draft. And it's just, I don't know what this team is going to do. This is just going to be a middling team that might make it to the second or third.
I will say this. Their talent evaluation, when you bring up Zaire, I would agree with you. I think that's an uphill battle. I would say to you, you have to give them, now again, they're picking high, but picking Ben Simmons, picking a Joel Embiid is no small thing.
But Joel Embiid just fell to them. It's not like they evaluated.
He did fall to them, but how about the two that passed on him? What, you think Wiggins or Parker, those two people should be held accountable for not taking an injured Embiid? Stop.
I'm saying that it's not like they went and evaluated. That was the best player left to them at that point. So, like, I can't give them credit for something that just fell in their lap.
Well, that's a little unfair because then at least kill the two above them for not taking Embiid.
Well, yeah, I totally understand that. But at the time, no one even knew from Joel Embiid, and he was injury plagued. So, like, he just fell to them. No one was going to take Joel because he was coming off substantial injuries. So that was right off the top of the board. No,
well, you don't have to waste your third pick on a guy that's injured and played a handful of games at Kansas and had just started playing. I'm just saying, I can't have that part of the conversation, Mike. I'm just saying, you have to say that they identified at the number one overall pick, Ben Simmons was the guy and not Ingram, and right for them. That was true.
But even at this point, look at Ingram. Ingram at least is taking shots, and he puts up points.
Oh, my God. Yeah, if you're going to tell me, Mike, that you think Brandon Ingram is a better player than Ingram, stop.
I'm just saying, like,
saying that. If you're not giving them credit for identifying that Ben Simmons was a better player than Brandon Ingram ever will be, that's his truth of the matter.
Well, all right, fine. I agree to that. But here's the thing. If you look at the totality of mistakes that have been made,
yes,
and the fact that we have no assets left, no money left to spend, and this is your team going forward, and you have no credible leader and a whole boatload of immaturity, I don't know where you can go and be confident with this team and feel good about it.
Well, the only way you can go is to change leadership. To try to, now I will agree with you, and I appreciate the phone call, Mike. I would agree with you if you have cultivated an immaturity that is allowed, right? And it's been allowed for 4 years. I don't care who comes in, changing that culture becomes incredibly difficult. It does. You know, you can go outside of sports. There's a person who was recently hired in our law enforcement that's coming in and trying to correct something that has been horrible for a number of years. How do you do that? And I'm just talking about changing leadership when a culture has been allowed to be. Don't expect that that will just automatically change, which is why the proper identification of how you deal with people in the early going of their growth is essential, and their own responsibility. I mean, I don't know if anybody listened to Giannis post-game on the national telecast. This guy, all he wants to do is be great and put in the time to being great. He's not asking somebody else. He's not pronouncing that he should be this or recognized as that. He wants to put it in himself. Period. And he doesn't have to announce it. And we have one person who tells you, I'm an all-star. I don't need to shoot. And we have another guy who says he's the best player in the world. And neither goes out and has the full game that you saw that person have yesterday. And that's disturbing to me. And neither would ever take responsibility that they are not evolved to the point that they could win this city a championship. They would never take responsibility that that's where they are right now. Derek's with us on the cell. Derek, how are you? Thanks for calling the Fanatic.
Hey, Dave, what's up? It's great talking to you.
Nice to hear from you.
Yeah, you talk good basketball, but I had a couple of points. I think, first of all, the guy Mike, he's blaming Brand too much. I think Brand put a pretty good team together. I don't think Brent Brown know how to use this team. They shooting too many three pointers, and he don't know how to mix the bench players in with the full time players.
Well, you know what? It was interesting when I'm listening to the game last night. and it's a national telecast. So they were referring to George Hill and the role that he has, right, on Milwaukee's bench. And they say, you know, he spearheads the Bucks bench. And by the way, he happens to shoot 51% from three, which is the best in the business right now, right? Okay, but take away the 51%. How about the fact that they identify him, he spearheads their bench. So I say to myself, as I'm listening, nobody's using that phrase ever to talk about anyone on the Sixers bench. So develop that. I mean, who's going to be it? Who do you challenge? Who do you say, I need this?
I don't think Embiid, like you said before, I don't think Embiid nor Simmons. Now, Simmons did get a little better this year.
No, he's definitely, his game has developed. I'm not taking that away from him.
You're right.
I'm just saying, though, he's not going to take over a game for me.
Not yet, But Embiid, it's real frustrating watching him at sometimes. When he gets the ball down a low post, he doesn't make a quick move. He holds the ball too
long. Yeah, he is. He's definitely methodical.
You know, they forced him to teach him that. You know, he's been in the league 3 or 4 years, and no one taught him to use the. As soon as he gets that ball down the post, he should make his move real quick, you know? And he just holds the ball, then he falls on the floor, and then he turns it over. Just like, stuff that he's supposed to learn, you know, in high school.
Right.
You know,
so last night he's going to get a little bit of a pass from people, and even Hubie Brown was calling the game and he gave him a little bit of a pass saying, if these guys can't make outside shots, how can you expect him to operate? But I would agree with you. He never makes a decisive catch the ball, slam it, you know, two-hand dunk because I spun on you.
Right. And that's like the big man's coach. You're supposed to learn that as a big man early. You know, I don't understand that. And then he talks too much and doesn't perform. You know, it's just frustrating with this guy.
Right. And the part for me yesterday in the pregame, Brett gave him a pass because he said, you know, if he wants to declare himself the best in the world, so be it if that motivates him. I've known him from the beginning. I'm the only coach he's ever had. You know, I can deal with this. Okay, well, in my opinion, that's fine that you want to say you can deal with that. But when he does not deliver and the rest of us have to listen to that, I mean, I would say as an organization, if it's not Brett, it should be Elton. Somebody says we have a talker that we have to figure out how to muzzle a little bit because it's not helping us.
It's not helping us. And like you just said a few minutes ago, and that kind of made me nervous. You just said, the way the culture is now, you don't think a new coach will come over here and change things.
No, I'm not saying they can't. I'm saying it becomes incredibly difficult. I don't know if you have kids. I have kids.
Yeah.
Okay. So my point is, with kids, if you allowed something early on, like, you know, going to bed, I'm not reading you a book, doing story time, singing to you, rubbing your back. I'm not doing that. Going to bed is a 5-minute thing. Brush your teeth, say goodnight, and get yourself in your bed.
There you go.
Right? So if this has been allowed, I'm just saying changing habits is a really hard thing.
Well, for the next coach.
For the next guy.
They might not like him because he's going to come in with some discipline.
And he'll come in with the discipline if he's bold enough, but it doesn't change the contracts that exist.
That's a whole different story.
I know, but you see where it plays in.
Right. Yeah, absolutely right.
Yep. So, I mean, I hope. Look,
who do you like? Just hypothetically, who do you like to come in next year? He's going to get fired, hopefully.
I have not thought about it. I'd like to think about it longer. I think it needs to be somebody who's been in the league. I know a lot of people are anti that, but to me, and all you need to do is look at Cleveland and you want to experiment with other people, you know, I would just say be forewarned.
Yes.
Be Be okay. forewarned. All right. Thank you so much for participating, Derek. I like it.
I like your intensity tonight. Go ahead.
Thank you. Thanks for calling 97.5 The Fanatic. 610-632-0975. Del, you're up next on the other side. Bob and Jack will get to you as well. And we invite you to call us, 610-632-0975. Yeah, we're talking about the Sixers. I thought it would be different. I liked how they were playing. Clippers, I know the Nets, not a great team coming out of the All-Star, but I thought it would be better, and it certainly was not against Milwaukee last night. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
I hope you all are enjoying your Sunday evening throughout Philadelphia and surrounding areas. I am Dee Lynam. I am with you until 11 o'clock here on 97.5 The Fanatic. Last night, the Sixers went on the road, and we all know they needed desperately to show that they could not just win on the road, but beat a good team on the road. And that wasn't happening. So they fall to 9-20 on the road. 9-20. I do have to say it twice. 119-98. Coming out in the third quarter, Milwaukee just took it to them. And, you know, you can say Ben Simmons was only available for 5 minutes. Would he have been the biggest difference in that game? I have no idea. I do know this. I do have concern of what that injury is. I didn't see it live. I was actually listening on the radio when it happened. But I will say that Tom McGinnis said, and he's a guy who has dealt with his own different back ailments, that he thought right away it looked weird. And then on top of that, my parents were watching the game, and it was my mother who said, nope, something's wrong there. And so we'll see. He's going to be reevaluated tomorrow. He is definitely out for tomorrow night's game against the Hawks. We know how good they are at home, 26-2. And the Hawks have given them fits on the road, but I don't see that being a problem tomorrow. At home, it's not a given. Of course, you have to show up and play and do it. But there were a lot of things statistically that I hated about last night's game. Okay, they shot 38 three-pointers. In my opinion, and it's humble, every time, and that was the third meeting against Milwaukee, Milwaukee baits them into shooting these three-pointers. Because they made a season-high 21 and beat Milwaukee handily on Christmas Day, they think that they can do this. It's not how they can beat Milwaukee. Not by a long shot. And so what do they end up shooting from three? 13 of 38. You may say, well, 34%. I don't care. Because what Milwaukee is willing to do, they shut the rest of it down. And so they shot 35% from the floor. The combination is they make you play into what they want you to play. And they can defend. They can defend. And then at the other end, you look like you can't defend. Because they pass the ball. They make shots. They have a stud in Giannis. And at the end of the day, even if on paper you want to say this roster of the Sixers looks better talent than the Milwaukee Bucks, I'm just telling you, you don't see what Middleton is. You don't see what Bledsoe is. And you sure as heck don't realize that Giannis has something that your two stars haven't understood yet is necessary to be a real star in this league. And that's why you're going to get that result. And I think you're going to get it if you do however many games Milwaukee decides that it's necessary to put them out in the postseason. Let's go to Dell in Germantown. Dell, what's going on, man? Thanks for calling the Fanatic.
Hey, how are you doing?
I'm a little frustrated.
Yeah, just more than a little bit. You know, I think the roster is really not that bad. I'm not going to blame Elton Brand because I truly wonder how much autonomy he has.
I would agree with that. I don't think anything is done by any one person there.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot of collective decision-making.
Absolutely. And I think also that, you know, the Sixers, I think at the beginning of the season, Brett Brown should have had hired, like, an offensive guru as an assistant coach to implement some type of system because I have no idea what type of brand of ball the Sixers play. I mean,
well, that's the point. That's an excellent point. Thank you, Dell. That's exactly right. We have no idea when you tune in. What are they hanging their hat on?
I don't know. And the thing is, like, last year, Mike Scott, it looked like for this season, you could have penciled him in for, like, anywhere from, like, 10 to 15 points a game. And, like, you haven't seen him at all, really, this season.
Well, you see him. You just don't see him doing well.
Playing. Yeah, and it's like, I just don't understand at all what they're trying to do. And in the playoffs, I really think the Sixers are so good at home. I think another team is thinking, we just got to steal one game from the Sixers at home because they can't beat us in our building. And they can get bounced early in the playoffs like that. I have no idea what this team is going to do. And I like Brett Brown, but he may not be the coach for us. And I'm wondering, like, you need a coach that's going to instill a system. These are like, really, they're like a third or fourth year player than Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid. And they never had a system to play on. They're still finding their way in the NBA. They should have had a system to rely on so they can grow within that system because it looks like they're just trying to figure it out on the fly.
Constantly. And what we're told as fans is that, you know, we bring in new players. So it's again, let's just go to the offseason, right? So you add an Al Horford, a Josh Richardson, you let go of a Jimmy Butler and a J.J. Redick.
Yeah.
And you sign a big number to Tobias in addition to the add-ons that you made. And now you say, we're going to play bully ball. And then as you're getting into it, we'll have it figured out by Christmas because we don't have it figured out yet, but they're asking for our patience.
And you know, like with other teams, you never see with the Sixers. Like, you have a player come off the bench, like the 7-minute mark of the first quarter, and you know what they're going to do. They don't even have a routine in terms of how their lineups.
Well, that's not true. Embiid comes out and Horford comes in. I mean, I can tell you that's
happening. The role players. You don't have, like, say, like a Thibault or something coming in. You know every game he's coming in.
That's true. That's true.
They don't have that. So
no.
How are they going to be consistent?
Well, because nobody's consistently delivered either. I don't know what comes first, right?
Chicken
or the egg.
Well, at this point, if you know this is your team, you're going to have to let – you can't just keep yanking people in and out the lineup. You just – if they play bad for a month, you got to look at the playoffs and hope they get in the routine, but it's no consistent way that they play.
Right. I agree with that. I agree that there needs to be a little more set in stone. And honestly, we had that conversation with Brett coming out of the All-Star. He didn't like the conversation. He did say that he was not going to be worried about, this is no time for development, and he was not going to be worried about hurting people's feelings. However, you know, here we are a couple of games, and there's no more knowing what you have or knowing what he's committed to. Okay, maybe because he's played Glenn Robinson the third in the starting lineup, but he played Furkan more closing out the game against Milwaukee last night because he was the one making shots.
You know what? I think the roster is not bad. I think the scheme. Do you think Jason Kidd would be a good coach for this team?
I don't know. Jason had Milwaukee. Dell, and they were nowhere near what they are now.
But
so,
do you think he established that culture? So I forget the guy's name from Atlanta who took over.
Budenholzer. But Budenholzer, I appreciate the phone call, Dell. Budenholzer won 60 games with the Atlanta Hawks. The Atlanta Hawks now, fair enough, they sold pieces off. But they haven't been anywhere near what Budenholzer had them when they won 60 games. Milwaukee was not who they are these last 2 years without Budenholzer. And I hear you that somebody maybe had them earlier on in the developmental part of some of these players. But that's like, would you take away what Steve Kerr did after Mark Jackson with Golden State? I mean, Mark Jackson maybe did the best he could to that point. Would you take away what Nick Nurse did in Toronto? Dwayne Wade's on my mind. They have that ESPN thing coming out. I've seen that commercial 100 times over the last 48 hours. But anyhow, Dwayne Casey, and I love Dwayne Casey, did the best he could. And they decided it was time for a different voice. Nick Nurse comes in. Yes, he had Kawhi Leonard. Casey didn't have Kawhi. He had DeMar DeRozan. That's a big difference. But timing with different people doesn't make the other guy less at doing the job, but maybe a new voice is what it's about. And seeing the pieces in a way that elevates the talent. Sometimes maybe you're just stuck. You're seeing it the same way because you've been there that long. I don't know. I don't know, but I think those are examples of people who have had talent. The next guy comes in and has elevated the talent, and a guy can go on and have great success somewhere else. You know? 610-632-0975. Bob, you're up next on the other side. Want to give you your full time, and we'll get to Jim and Ron, Ed and Jack. Thanks for listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It is Sunday. It was a beautiful day. I don't know how many of you all got to enjoy the outdoors today, but I did. I got to play some golf with my dad and my husband and my son. So, yeah, awesome. And I hope you got to do something equally entertaining and fun. And maybe it was outdoors. We've been talking a lot about the Sixers falling to the Milwaukee Bucks last night. And it's not just losing to the best team in the business. It's not. It's how you do it. It's how you look. It's what you say around it. It's what you say going into it. And there are so many, like, check the box of not done right on the Sixers' part that has me a little concerned and you know, just saying, there are parts of me that believe they could contend to get to the Eastern Conference Finals. And then there are these boxes I'm checking that say, no, you can't if this is who you are. And last night's game looked poor. I'm just going to say it. A caller earlier had it best. There's no identity to this group. And whether you want to say Ben was out, Ben in, Ben out, Joe in, Joe out, there's still not an identity to this. You can point to one game, and that's the Clippers game, where you say, ooh, but everybody looked great for one game. The Milwaukee game on Christmas Day was not who they are. They made 21 threes. They made 13 last night. That's not who they are. So the identity is just not there. Other teams know what they're shooting for statistically. Differentials, being number one in this category, all of these things. These guys don't talk about that. Not one time does that come up in a post-game interview. They don't know who they want to be. And I think that's a problem. Let's go to Bob in Huntington Valley. Bob, what's going on? Thanks for calling the Fanatic.
Thank you for taking my call. I appreciate it.
No problem.
So about 20 years ago, I was at a work conference down in Florida, in Orlando, and Lou Holtz was the speaker.
Okay.
So Coach Holtz tells this story, and he says, I had an interviewer ask me, you know, Coach Holtz, you're such a master motivator. How do you get these young men, you know, motivated and everything? He says, it's simple. He goes, I take all the young men that are self-motivated, and I put them over here. And he points to one side of himself. He goes, then I take the ones that really need motivation, and then I put them over here. He points to the other side of the stage.
Right.
He goes, then I kind of replace these, the ones that need motivation, with more of these. And everybody laughs, and he says, but it's true, because you have to be self-motivated. And that's the difference between a 25-year-old Giannis and a 25-year-old Joel.
Totally. Well, and you're not going to get an argument from me.
And I love this team. I go to a lot of home games. My daughter and I, we have the best time. We were there Christmas Day. It was wonderful. I mean, we love this team. But they're so dominant at home, and then they're just terrible on the road. There's certainly a maturity thing there, without a doubt. There's certainly a leadership aspect there that's missing that can't help them be professional.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing that's disappointing to me is I go back to Coach Holtz and go, you know what? As much as I love this team, as much as I love these young guys and all, if you need motivation of people cheering your praise at home to actually be successful, they're never gonna go anywhere. And that's a disappointing, sad thing to me, is they're not self-motivating young guys, at least not now.
No, they're not. They definitely don't have, you know, they talk about being better, being the best, but the work that they put in does not equal the talk that they talk. And like even last night, Giannis was asked in the post game about Joel saying he pronounced himself the best player in the world coming into this game. How do you feel now after the game, knowing you're the one who came out on top? And Giannis says, I'm not on social media. I have no idea what you're talking about. So I really can't help you. And it's a nice enough. It wasn't even rude, even if he had heard that he said it. And I do know Giannis is not a social media guy. He even went to... he put his picture of his child up there with an emoji over the face because he doesn't want anybody to know what his kid looks like.
Right.
So there's a privacy factor to him that doesn't exist with everybody. I mean, Ben's not a huge social media guy. He's a little bit. And certainly in the circles he runs, he's more so because of who he runs with. But, you know, there are people who just don't want to do that. And on top of it. He's just not going to get in a war of words. And I love that about him. But Embiid, and basically to me, the Sixers make excuses for him that he needs this to be great. He needs this war of words with people, the fights with Karl Anthony Towns, the, you know, you've taken this away and that's the reason I haven't been good enough on the court. I mean, it's all a joke.
It's all excuses.
It's all excuses. And I'm sorry if I have to say that, but that's his truth. So, you know, at some point, you may or may not grow up. I have no idea. You may or may not always need the adoration of the world around you to motivate you every 5 games, 10 games, because you gave a great one against Brooklyn, who had nobody near your size to defend you, by the way, when you got your 39-16. And now when you're going to go and play somebody who's of real stature, you're going to, you know, come up small, and the world's going to say it's because you didn't have anybody around you who could make outside shots. I mean, I'm sorry. I never heard those kind of excuses with those who were the best in the world. And I don't want to hear it starting now.
Well, that's part of the culture of the organization, too, is they have identified him as the crown jewel.
Yep.
Last year, I was at a small meet and greet with Tom McGinnis was the little speaker there with a group, and you could even hear it. I asked a question about Joel, and you could tell it's like the company line is, you defend Joel, and that's what they do, and they defend him. And you know, at some point you need, I'm not saying you know, advocating for Tom Thibodeau or someone like that, that's just not going to toe that company type line, and is going to really find out what he's made of.
Well, Bob, unfortunately, I'm not sure there's somebody out there. If your group wants to let this be the way, it's far above the coach.
Sure. It's sad and disappointing, but I still love the team. I still love the team.
Well, you should. I mean, and let's face it. I appreciate the phone call, Bob. Let's face it. If you've gone to any home game, -2, you've had a great result and a pretty entertaining product. So I'm not going to take that away from anybody. You should love the team, and you should appreciate that if you've gone down there, you get your money's worth. And you probably will do so for the rest of the year. The problem is, if you're looking for a championship, that's what we're talking about. Is this championship material? For me, no. And there's multiple reasons for it. I'll take your reasons of yes or no. And you can say yes. I have no problem. If you say yes, just back it up. 610-632-0975. Ed and Ron, you're on the other side. We have a full 23 minutes of uninterrupted conversation. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911, and we'll send the link straight to your phone.